That's right, there is truth up ahead. Greetings, greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I'm just Doug, sitting in again as Bob gallivants around the country, organizing resistance against the evil liberal left. And I'm just pleased as punch to be sitting in tonight. Had a great time last night taking all those calls. It was strange for me because on my normal show, on my regular show, I don't take calls. So that was quite a kick last night to take all those calls. And now the instant messages I didn't quite master, but I've got one right here to open the show from someone out there in the ether. Bob, well, whoever. Just curious, if you homeschool and don't have a youth group, how do your kids ever learn to interact with unbelievers? Will they avoid them like the plague instead of reaching out to them? And my answer would be, yes, I hope so. I hope they will avoid unbelievers like the plague and that they will not reach out to them. Leave the reaching out up to dad. Dad can determine whether or not they need to be reached out and hugged or reached out and slapped upside the head. So my kids can avoid the heathens like a plague, and I'll be just fine with that. Now, I can't type an answer to the instant message because I'm just not that much of a multitasker. I'm focusing on the program right now, on the radio end of things. And I want to thank all the huge affiliates out there. All the affiliates are so awesome. KLTAM 670 in Denver, our flagship. WMQM in Memphis. WITA Knoxville. WNTS in Indianapolis, WHME in Indianapolis. We own Indianapolis. WACE Springfield, Mass. WRSB Rochester. WASB in Brockport, New York, that is. And of course, last but not least, WMJO in Hamlin, New York. Welcome everybody around the country to Bob Enyart Live. I'll give out the number in a little bit. But before we get to emails and your phone calls, I want to start with some news. Tragic story from Port Royal, Virginia on the Associated Press wire just this afternoon. When a bank robber in Virginia reached his getaway car, he found that his keys had been locked inside the car. Police said that the suspect, a 61-year-old man, fled on foot after beating on the window of the car with a piece of wood, at which point bystanders began to chase him. And when the bystanders caught him, the bungling bank robber tried to shoot them, but instead shot himself in the leg. Yes, and then one of the pursuers actually shot him as well as they struggled. And then all the money was recovered, and the bungling bank robber, well, he's in the hospital now, but he's under arrest. Folks, criminals are not that bright, and they're not that brave. And, you know, a healthy dose of fear would help in a situation like this. Fear of punishment, fear of the justice system. It would prevent this type of embarrassing incident, okay? If this guy had the fear of God in him, he probably never would have tried to stick the bank up and embarrass himself and his whole family in front of the whole country and God and everybody. How pathetic is that? Now, a little from last night's show, we talked about Illinois Governor George Ryan. From the Associated Press wire, just hot off the wire, prosecutors have returned to court seeking to void 14 more death row clemencies that were granted by Governor Ryan. And then the reasoning for it is just ridiculous, okay? It's just, I'm not even going to get into it. It's not because they're righteously indignant against this man profaning God. It's because some paperwork wasn't done. It's just embarrassing. But by the way, just so we got the numbers right, Ryan pardoned 4 men on death row and granted clemency to 167, I said, death row inmates. So mark that down for judgment day. We'll confront Mr. Ryan on that, you and me together. All right, now that was the good news, that maybe some of these commutations will be set aside. Now the bad news, this is from yesterday or maybe the day before from the AP. Let's see. The bad news is the ACLU has received its largest one-time donation in the history of all civilization. A billionaire insurance executive gave $8 million to the Anti-Christian Civil Litigation Union. Or what are those guys? Yeah, the ACLU, you know. Yeah, the child molesters. Gave him the largest individual gift, $8 million in history. Last year he contributed $7 million, for crying out loud. So they say he gave this gift, $8 million, with no strings attached. Yeah. And we know that's because ACLU lawyers prefer leather to to strings attached. Anyways, that's the bad news. Now, the funny and stupid and ridiculous news, quickly, we're going to get to your phone calls here in a moment. I'll give the number. It's 800-8-NYARC. That's 1-800-836-9278. If you want to participate on the program, if you've had a hard day at work, though, we'll call the show anyways because we sure would like to hear from you. Don't sit back and relax, ladies and gentlemen. We're losing the country. We're losing the culture. We're losing the war against the left. You need to speak up, and you can call me and do so. 800-836-9278 if you want to participate in the program. The funny, the news of the funny, stupid, the ridiculous. The anti-war movement has reared its ugly head once again here in the new millennium. They're back from the 60s. They're back from the big hangover of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I don't know, maybe it's the neo-hippie, you know, like the 19-year-old girls who dress up like Twiggy and paint flowers on their face. Well, they're all gathering in Washington, D.C. this weekend, according to the Associated Press. A weekend demonstration is designed to coincide with America's military buildup in the Persian Gulf region and a time of remembrance for the nonviolent struggle embodied by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody bow your head. Anyway, so they're all going to get together, all the hippies and the druggies and the whacked out neo-hippie kids. They're going to get together, and during the day, they're going to protest the war, and they're going to call for anarchy, and they're going to throw rocks through windows at McDonald's. And at night, well, we don't even want to get into what's going on, what's going to be happening at night, folks. This is a family show. But interestingly enough, the big anti-war demonstrations that will be taking place in Washington, D.C. this weekend are going to collide, to clash directly with, and I got this article from CNS News, a homosexual motorcycle club expects thousands of leather fetish enthusiasts to fill the streets and hotels of the nation's capital. Now, why do they have to mention the hotels? I mean, it's bad enough to think about what leather-clad homosexual motorcyclists do in the streets. Just leave the hotels out of it. For crying out loud, we'd rather not think about it. Anyway, they're all going to gather in the Capitol over the upcoming Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Yeah, okay. And I'm not going to give you the name of the group or any of that other stuff. It's just, you know, they ought to get on real well with all the hippie dipsters out there, the anti-war movement. They'll get along just famously with the leather-clad motorcycle freaks up there. They're profaning the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, for crying out loud, using it as an opportunistic tool, or. Well, something like that. Anyway, it should be an interesting weekend in Washington, D.C., you know, like put bars on the windows, you know, out there in D.C. Now, I don't know if I want to go right to the emails, because I've got some interesting ones and some stuff from last night as well, and one involving a large sum of money, which I know, I have to make this announcement. I hope I have time to fit this in before the break to do this announcement. Planned Parenthood, by the way, folks, is having a big 30th anniversary of Roe versus Wade contest. Yeah, have you heard about this? It's for all the young girls, 18 and younger. You have to be a girl. You can draw a picture depicting the benefits of abortion throughout history. Yeah, right. Be creative. Send it in. And all you young ladies, though, keep in mind, if you want to enter the contest to win the prize, which is a free abortion, I think, you have to have your parents' permission. It's Bob Enyart Live, and it is listener-supported radio. Whether I'm here or Bob's in Chicago or Australia or New Zealand or Jerusalem, we need your help to keep this broadcast on the air, to keep this ministry going. Now, folks, this is a ministry that gets the attention of the unbelievers. Yeah, it's like a cold splash of water across their face, you know? And this ministry is important, and so many times Bob's been successful in converting or helping to lead people to the Lord, and it's just an exciting ministry, but it costs a lot of money to stay on all these radio stations because, electricity is expensive, and from what I understand, there's large amounts of electricity involved in keeping this broadcast on the air. So we could use your help, especially here in Denver. We need seven more, to sign up to keep the show on after February. Seven people sign up, donate $100 a month. $100 a month. That's a pittance. That's a pittance, folks. A very small donation on your part to help keep this ministry going. Yeah, especially you folks here in Denver. You could be one of the seven. Call up tonight, 800-8-NYART. Call up, sign up, sell that property for $1 million. Send it on in. We could use your help, folks. And it only takes a few dollars a month to keep the show on the air. If everybody would step up to the plate right now and give us a call and sign up to keep Bob Enyart live on the air, witnessing against the evil, wicked, heathen left who are destroying not only the country and the culture, but they're destroying the church. They're destroying the Christian church, and they're turning it weak-kneed, and they're feminizing it, and it's just not... Something has to be done, ladies and gentlemen. And Bob Enyart is working day in and day out through this ministry, well, to help stem the tide and perhaps, nay, even someday turn the tide, Lord willing. And we ask you to pray for us and everyone involved in the ministry, and we ask for your financial support. Sign up and be a regular supporter. Do your part to save the world. Donate to Bob Enyart Live. You could donate automatically by credit card or send us the largest check you can possibly afford. That's all we ask. Just send us all you can afford. Don't send us more than you can afford, but send something. If everyone would send a little something every month, we'd never have to worry about going off the air. But as it is, it's hand to mouth every month. We're struggling trying to stay on the air. So you could be one of the seven in my Denver audience. Call us right now, 800-836-9278. If you're listening in Denver, call the show. Don't call to talk. Call to help. Call to keep the ministry on the air. Do right and risk the consequences. 800-836-9278. And we're back. It's Bob Enyart Live. I'm Doug McBurney, host of the weekly worldview at KGOV.com, sitting in for just one more night. And boy, a daily show would be so much fun. It would be so much fun. This has really been a kick. I want to thank Bob. Now, before I go to the phones, I'm going to start, and this is a very good segue, as a matter of fact. This is from Gary. He emailed us yesterday. Doug, I was very excited to hear you mention my email as you guest hosted BEL. Doug, I wasn't trying to be harsh, and the verses that I was mentioning in particular, the chapter is Deuteronomy 20, the rules of conquest. This is all about the draft. You remember we got into this yesterday? The four classes of exemptions from fighting are listed in Deuteronomy 20. Now, just to find out if Gary is completely insane or out of his mind, we're going to actually refer to the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy even. Deuteronomy, I said. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. We here at Bob Enyart Live know. What were the odds I was going to get through that? Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. Those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice even, that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Deuteronomy 20, starting at verse 5, the officers shall speak to the people. What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him return. This is when you're going to war, okay? We'll put this in context for some of you biblically illiterate out there who maybe aren't familiar with Deuteronomy, you know, kind of like me last night, stumbling for verses. Anyway, this is when Israel goes out to war. This is what that God commands them. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him return. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not yet married her? Let him return. And finally, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. So these are the verses that it was Gary brought up. And well, let's just go one by one. First of all, is there a man who's built a house? Hey, these slack-jawed young punks who need to be drafted, they've never driven a nail for crying out loud, let alone build a house. So they don't qualify for that one. Planted a vineyard? What are you talking about? That involves manual labor, man. If there's not a joystick involved, I don't think they qualify for that one either. And I'm talking mostly about the, you know, the younger kids, 17 to say 25. That whole batch of losers that are coming up now in America, the ones that hang out at the Van skate park, those types. Okay, so that I don't think that they're going to be doing any tilling of the soil, so they don't really qualify for that one. What man is there is betrothed to a woman? Well, I don't even want to go there. Okay. Betrothed to a woman. All right. And is fearful and faint-hearted. And now this is where we get into should there be a draft, I think. And Gary, I would love to call you and debate this for an hour on the air, but this is my last guest host appearance, and I want to squeeze in as many people and as many topics as I can. But we'll get together on this on email. But as far as being faint-hearted, these little punks aren't faint-hearted. You know, they're not faint-hearted when it comes to carjacking or I don't know, you know, doing drug deals. They're not faint-hearted. They're fairly brave. So I don't think any of these verses disqualify the idea of conscripted service. I don't see it. Now, I may be wrong, and in fact, let's find out if I am, because then we can get it out of the way real quick here. We'll go to the phones to Detroit. Tom, speak your mind.
Hey, Doug. Any excuse to call and say hello.
Hey, well, it's good to hear from you, Tom. How's the weather in Detroit?
It's I think it's the second coldest night of the year here. It's pretty cold.
The second coldest night of the year. Well, maybe we can help warm you up. What, you got something on the draft that maybe can help me out? Am I off base here?
I think you might be. It seems to me a while back, I remember, I can't remember if I was reading on ShadowGov, the Constitution,
yeah,
which isn't posted anymore. You guys got to get on the stick there.
Yeah, well, you know, we made a lot of enemies with that.
I really like that, and I was, you know, sometimes I want to show somebody, and it's not available anymore. I don't have a copy of it, so I'm hoping you guys repost that someday. But I'm not sure if this is on there or not. But whenever you guys were talking about it last night, 1 Samuel chapter 8 is a chapter that Bob uses when he talks about how a 10% tax would be tyrannical.
Right, right. I remember that.
And the chapter is the Jews, they want a king, and Samuel is warning them what a wicked king will do. And
yes,
one of the things he says is that he'll take a tenth of what you produce. And he also says, you already gave the warning, so I'm free to read, right?
Yeah, I got it right. I've given the warning, and I'm reading, following right along with you here.
Start at verse 11, right at the beginning of his reply.
Verse 11, and he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you, who will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots." Wow, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong verse. A little
and,
later on, he says he'll take
looks like
your...
The next one, too, applies to that.
Oh, 12. He will appoint captains over his thousands and over his fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Wow. Well, I think that sounds more like slavery to me than strictly conscripted military service. But
it
that's
could
a,
be.
That's a pretty
I'm
strong
not sure
verse.
On the issue either. I'm not an expert in that, but when it came up last night, that was what popped into my head.
Well, Tom, let me hit you with the rest of Gary's email.
Okay.
He's a pretty witty guy, and maybe you
can
reply to this. He says, "Doug, I share your dislike for the Vans-wearing, pierced youth of the modern liberal age. Would you want to serve in the military with them?" He says, "I don't trust them with a gun, quite frankly." So we can see where Gary's coming from. He's not very tolerant. But and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I look at these kids, and I just think that some of them could, well, they could help the country by defending us against, you know, the evil Islamists who are trying to take us over, and the psycho whacked out North Koreans and whoever else, you know.
Yeah.
And that maybe some of them would take the rings out of their noses and act like men if they were just slapped around by a drill instructor for a little while. So, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I'm really not 100% sure one way or the other. But
I'm willing to admit I'm wrong. And you've given me some good verses, and Gary's verses are pretty darn good too. And you know, this is the way I like to figure things like this out. Is we check out the Bible and what God has to say. And we study the natural sciences and history to determine what the truth is, and then when we take our decisions based on that.
That's the way to do it. Hey, I really liked your show last night.
Oh, well, thanks, Tom. I had a blast.
I thought you handled the callers very well. I was surprised at how many people were calling up and defending that Illinois Governor Ryan.
I know, wasn't that sad?
Bob Enyart listeners, no less, you know?
Yeah, and here's a point I didn't get to make last night, and let me bounce this off you, Tom, and then I'm going to have to let you go.
Okay.
But if you hear that there's a car accident, and you hear that one person died, that's bad news, right?
I was thinking the same thing last night.
But if you hear there's a car accident and 11 people died, that's worse news, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, since people die in car accidents sometimes, maybe we should all start walking.
My wife made that point to me as well.
That's what I thought you were driving at. To me, if you innocently kill one person while you're trying to obey God, that'd be better than to say, well, I know better than God. I'm going to reject what he says and let 100 murderers go free, or even one murderer go free. I mean, if you accidentally kill somebody trying to do the right thing, so be it. Better than to do the wrong thing on purpose.
There it is, folks. Last night's show in a nutshell. Tom from Detroit, thank you very much for your call. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. There goes Tom. And, okay, so the number to call, by the way, Tom's dropped off now. A line open, 800-836-9278. I know it's Friday night. A lot of people are out at the movies, and you know, so you can't expect an avalanche of calls, I suppose, on a Friday night. But for those of you who are motivated and who aren't chicken, come on and give us a call. Obviously, I'm a reasonable man. Anyway, that I hadn't thought of that verse in 1 Samuel. Boy, that's a good one. And so the debate will continue. You know, we'll have to wait for Bob to get back and settle the whole thing. That's what we'll do. And he'll do it scripturally, which I always like. Okay, so we finished on the draft, since we did enough on that last night. Now, let's go to the big email, folks. Now, the guy who wrote this email may be listening. His name's David out of Michigan. And he sent me an email today, or last night after the show. Doug, have you had a chance to talk to Bob in regards to the $500 debate offer? I still have not received a reply. I hope Bob is not running. Oh, man. No, David. Bob's not running. Bob and I have simply occupied opposite ends of the, of the nation here in the past few weeks. And I haven't been able to get this to him. Now, David has a challenge for Bob, and it's on some biblical question that we're not going to get into right now because I'm going to let Bob settle that. But me and David got into it over the email, talking about hell. Okay, so David sent me an email that apparently he sent to Bob some time ago, and he says, "Dear Bob, I'm still amazed that a person with your knowledge and reasoning still believes that God is going to torture the unsaved for eternity. Haven't you ever considered the possibility that the lost will be thrown into hell and suffer until they are burned up? The second death? What you're preaching is that all of us have eternal life, whether in heaven or hell. Have you ever thought about what this makes God look like? It makes him look like a God who says, serve me or burn forever." Anyways, okay, so he says that makes God look bad. And I would just, my challenge, and I'll lay $500 on it, I suppose, David. If you can find me one place in the Bible where hell is or death even, where death equals non-existence or a cessation of all life, I'll pay you the $500, okay? And I will challenge you to give me the $500. Which I'll donate to Bob Enyart Live, by considering this, that in the Garden of Eden, God promised Adam that in the day he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that in that day he would surely die. Now, did God lie to Adam? Because Adam did not cease to exist, or he wasn't vaporized into nothingness on that very day. In fact, he lived another several hundreds of years. According to the text, he lived several hundred more years, at least physically. So death does not equal an elimination or termination. It just doesn't. In the Bible, death means a separation from God, an alienation from God. That's what death means. So ponder that. Think about, you know, writing out the check. It's Bob Enyart Live. We'll be right back. All right, folks, I want to tell you about an audio album available from Bob Enyart Live exclusively. It's only $32.95. It's called Nicer Than God. Okay? And what it talks about is it goes through the Bible, first of all, just like all the great materials available here at Bob Enyart Live, all biblically based. And it talks about how nice exactly is God. When does God forgive? When does God condemn? And what does God command of his followers as far as being nice? I mean, we want to be nice to a certain degree, but how nice is too nice? Well, some people are nicer than God, like, Illinois Governor George Ryan. He is nicer than God, and on Judgment Day, he is going to regret the fact that he was nicer than God. You can find out how to avoid being nicer than God by ordering the 6-tape audio album entitled, conveniently enough, Nicer Than God for $32.95. Call 1-800-8-ENYART. It's the same number you call to get through on the show, but call, and we'll divert your call to our massive sales organization, and they will hook you up with Nicer Than God. It's 6 tapes, $32.95, and it can help you to avoid a myriad of embarrassing situations that will not redound to your benefit on Judgment Day. And also, folks, I've got to tell you about Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is a video that examines the history and the geography, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not the spiritual phony baloney resurrection. We're talking about a literal, physical resurrection and a conquering of death that was actually really achieved on a hill in Jerusalem. And there's evidence there to this very day that backs up our position that Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God, the Son of the only true and living God, and that he did come to earth, that he was tortured and killed, and that he did rise from the dead on the third day, just as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. There's actual geographic evidence, and there's a mountain of historical evidence. There's a mountain of evidence, folks, that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. And this video, Mount Moriah, only $24.95 to have in your hands a resource that can help you to declare the truth and to defend the truth that Jesus Christ is not a myth and he's not just a nice guy. He's the Son of God who rose from the dead and conquered death. He's the only one who could do it. He's the only one who did do it. And he left us the evidence to prove it to those who are willing to listen. So get this resource, Mount Moriah. Call 1-800-836-9278. It's $24.95. 1-800-836-9278. Okay, we're back. It's Bob Enyart Live. Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview at KGOV.com, sitting in for the ever-gracious Bob Enyart. Thank you again, Bob, for letting me sit in. And I suppose we should go to the phones. Now, we were talking about hell, and I mentioned Governor Ryan, and now I've got Dave on the line. Let's see here. Dave from Coldwater, Kansas, what say you?
Hi, Doug. How you doing?
I am doing just fantastic. I'm so pumped up to be sitting in for Bob.
That's pretty cool.
It is awesome.
Hey, I don't know if you were, I missed your show yet last night, but you were talking about Governor Ryan, I take it.
I did indeed.
And you probably used the quote that I've heard some of the liberals say, it's better to let 1,000 guilty men go free than to kill one innocent man, right?
That was pretty much the focus of almost the whole show last night.
And I don't even know who quoted that. Do you remember who originally said that?
I'm
thinking somebody like Shakespeare or something.
Or maybe it was Blackstone or
one of those
English judges. Or you know
could
what?
Be.
Maybe it was a cross-dresser from the
1600s. That's entirely possible
England.
As well. Nevertheless, it's the people that support that idea obviously don't know math very well.
I'll
give them the benefit of a doubt, and let's assume a recidivism rate of 10%.
Okay. That's a pretty big benefit of the doubt.
No doubt.
It'll help make the math simpler.
You just killed 100 innocent people, okay, by letting the guilties go free.
You just killed 100 innocent people, even if the recidivism rate was 10%.
Right.
And I think the recidivism rate usually
more like 95,
somewhere above 90%.
Yeah.
And another challenge, someone challenged me last night saying that I was making it sound as if these guys were going to be set free. And I said, no, all I'm saying is they're going to live. But who are you to say they won't be set free when the next liberal governor or judge comes down the pike and hears their case?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you let 1,000 guilty men go free and 10% of them go out and kill again, you just killed 100 innocent people.
And my bet is, Dave, that as we travel through the next 5 or 10 years, I'll bet you 10% of the 167 who were whose sentences were commuted, or is that what it's called, commuted?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, 10% of those will be released, in my opinion.
I wouldn't
be surprised. At least 10%.
And a good percentage of those will kill again.
And, yeah, the next budget crisis in Illinois, and they're going to be letting the murderers out on the streets.
That's right.
And I still hold to my bet that one of the four that he outright pardoned, one of the four that he pardoned will kill someone else.
I believe that.
That's
also.
Just,
hey, take care.
God bless, Dave. Thanks for the call. I like that. Dave knows when to get out. I mean, he brought it to the table. He made a great point, and he's on with his life. Thank you very much, Dave. I have a tendency to keep callers on too long, especially when they're, you know, guys like Dave. I could sit and talk to him for a while. But we've got to try it. We got to keep the show moving. Now, anything else on this? Okay, this thing about hell, the idea that people are annihilated. Yeah, I'm going to get with David on this, try and get my $500. And then I'm going to pass, David, I am going to pass your other challenge, $500, on to Bob. So that he can collect his $500, if he's right. Now, we'll have to wait and see, because David comes up with some really good questions in his email. But I just don't have time to go into them all, David, because, well, I got a lot of people, I got a lot of stories. The number to call, by the way, if you want to participate in the program, is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. It's Friday night. Call up. Prove to America that you're sober. Call 800-8-NYART. Okay, now I'm gonna go into a little bit of my murder and mayhem file. The folks who are regular listeners to KGOV, you know that I do a show every week, well, as often as I can, called The Worldview, and I often go into my murder and mayhem file to show just how out of control the criminal elements in this country is. And I'm telling you right now, I've got 11 stories this week. 11 stories this week culled just from the news wires here in the United States, that were any one of these stories to have been broadcast or had gained public knowledge 70 years ago, they would have the whole world would have focused on these stories. These are stories of horrendous. I don't want to do the murder and mayhem file now because it's depressing me. I'll do a couple stories because we got one right here in Denver. This is unbelievable. A group of fifth graders right here in Denver, Colorado, tried to poison a schoolmate by putting pills, glue, lead, and chalk into her drinks. Police learned of the case Tuesday after the 11-year-old complained to teachers that she had found these items in her water bottle and in her soda. Five girls and two boys, all fifth graders, have been suspended and they face possibly some criminal action. The school principal, Sally, that's a problem right there. The school principal, Sally, said that, why did this happen? She said that the five students didn't like this girl and that they wanted to hurt her. Well, it's nice to know that the principal's aware of the situation. In her public school. That's just delightful. Principal Sally. All right, I can't do the murder and mayhem file. And I'm saving the letter, Governor Ryan's letter to the victims' families. I am saving that for the Weekly Worldview on Sunday. So you will have to tune in then. Instead, let us delve into, well, before we get into the justice file, which can be equally as depressing most of the time, let's do some stories of the stupid, of the bizarre, and of the relatively unimportant, just to lighten things up, okay? Dateline, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Now tell me Canada doesn't need a draft. Listen to this. A 34-year-old Canadian has set the world record for body piercing this Wednesday past. This moron pushed 702 needles into his body in a little less than 8 hours. He was trying to reach 1,000 piercings, but he stopped when the pain became too much to bear, according to him. He said at one point, "I'm in a lot of pain. It feels like somebody's electrocuting my legs. Please hand me another needle." Anyways, let's see. This guy, he is a professional piercer at a tattoo studio up there in Canada. He said, "I'm pretty happy about how the whole thing turned out, eh? I would have liked to do 1,000 piercings, but, eh, now that I'm done, I realize that 700 is a lot, eh? And right now, it looks like I've been in a car accident, eh? There's quite a lot of blood. Wow." So that's the piercer. Tell me this guy doesn't need to be drafted. Do something with your life. Now, the previous world record, in case you were wondering, and I'm sure you were, right? The previous world record for body piercings was 200 by some other slack-jawed, pale, pasty-faced loser. More than likely from the American Northwest, but we don't have confirmation on that. This guy who broke the record, he says it was his desire to be different that led him to seek the record. He had already stretched his earlobes. He has earlobe holes that are an inch and a half wide, and it allows him to dangle thick steel carabiners normally used for rock climbing. He hangs those in his ears. His eyebrows sport the beginnings of what he hopes will one day be a full Maori mask tattooed on his face. That's just delightful. You know, his mother's just got to be thrilled. You know, turns on the CBC, you know, and there's little Johnny with, you know, hubcaps hanging off his ears and tattoos on his eyebrows, and he's sticking needles into his body like some kind of pagan freak. It's pretty embarrassing for Canada. I feel sorry for my Canadian brethren. But believe me, you know, go to Seattle, and this guy, he wants to be different. I mean, he'd fit right in. He says he only took a few short breaks during the whole piercing experience. He took a lunch break, and of course he took a break to smoke a cigarette on several occasions. So, well, interesting. Speaking of cigarettes, listen to this. New York City. And this is for all you people who love stories about taxes. There are very few stories about taxes that ever make it onto the broadcast airwaves on Bob and Yart Live. But this is one that's going to make it, probably just because Bob's out of town. New York City on Friday sued the operators of 15 websites that sell cigarettes, saying that the companies are evil for helping to kill young children with evil tobacco. No, that's not what they said. That's not what New York City said in its case against the 15 websites that sell cigarettes. They said that the companies failed to collect $5 million in sales tax that is owed to the state of New York, according to officials there who filed the lawsuit. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, one of the emptiest suits in the Northeast, said, quote, "We're not going to be the only ones who sue. Every state has a problem that nobody's paying sales tax on the purchases over the internet. You need tax revenues, and if people find ways around the collection process, there aren't the monies to do the things you want." The things you want. So here's a guy basically admitting that he doesn't care that cigarettes hook innocent young children's and kill. How many tens of thousands of people a year die from smoking-related illnesses? Tens of thousands, I would guess. Tens of thousands die every year as a direct result of smoking cigarettes. But Michael Bloomberg doesn't care. He wants his money. Hey, look, I want my money. We can talk about morality later, but right now I want my money. We can talk about hooking young kids, but right now, give me the money. You know, early in the show, we mentioned the ACLU, and you can have one of the greatest hours of your life watching Bob Enyart debate an actual ACLU lawyer, leader, loser, lunatic. Bob actually debates. You can see for yourself what an ACLU type looks like without actually exposing your family to the dangers of inviting one into your home. That's right. Pick up Bob Debates an ACLU Leader. Bob debates the leader of the Colorado ACLU and pretty much embarrasses and destroys the guy on every front. It's a very fast-moving video, packed full of embarrassing moments for liberalism and high fives all the way around for right-wing Christian conservatives. It's one of the greatest videos Bob ever made in his storied television career, and it's available to you for only $19.95. You call 1-800-8-NYAR. We'll direct your call over to the massive sales force. They'll get your order down. We'll get the tape out to you, and you will spend one of the most enjoyable hours of your life watching Bob debate an ACLU leader. Only $19.95. And then there's Confronting an Atheist, another wonderful video that Bob put together over the course of a few shows back there on television, where an actual, real, live, living, breathing atheist calls up and has the audacity to challenge the existence of the true and living God. And, well, let's just say Bob takes it to him, okay? And I won't tell you how it ends, but it's really encouraging and fun. And, again, just packed full of helpful hints on how to witness to the seemingly unsalvageable. And you know what? It helps you realize that nobody's unsalvageable. And this video, Confronting an Atheist, it's only $19.95. Again, Bob's practically giving this stuff away. I can't believe this. He needs to raise these prices. Confronting an Atheist and the ACLU debate are easily worth $50 each, standalone. He's giving them away. $40, you can get both of them. You can call 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Tell them you want to learn how to confront an atheist. Tell them that you want to learn how to, you want to learn about ACLU types, but you don't want to actually get close enough to get anything on you. You know, you want to do it in video format, okay? Both videos are available. We can ship them out to you right away. And I think these prices even include shipping, right? No, they don't. Well, good. I was about to say Bob was insane. 800-836-9278. Call and order today. We're back. It's Bob Enyart Live. Going worldwide on the World Wide Web and all over the country on our great affiliates via the Information Radio Network. Thanks again to everybody out there. My name's Doug McBurney, by the way. I'm not Bob Enyart, I'm sure that you realize that by now. I'm not Bob Enyart, but I'm doing the best I can, okay? Doing the best I can with what I've got. And what I've got is a handful of news from the world of justice, which is one of my favorite all-time topics. Should I finish with the cigarette story? You know what I wanted, the point I wanted to make about the whole cigarette thing? Not only the hypocrisy of Michael Bloomberg, who, by the way, is training young abortionists in New York City's hospitals again. That's Michael Bloomberg. He says he needs to get the money to do what he wants. And what he wants to do is train young doctors. Instead of training them to be healers, he wants to train them to be murderers. And so he's reinstituted in New York City the training of doctors to kill children. So for that reason alone, I will never buy another pack of cigarettes in New York, just for that reason alone, unless it's over the Internet and I don't have to give this guy the taxes. Now, what this brings up, though, in addition to all of that, is that I can feel it coming, folks. The tax on the Internet is coming because the Internet destroys the idea of local businesses or interstate transactions. Normally, we don't get taxed on transactions made in between states. And I guess that was the government being, well, I don't know, just being nice to us because they figure, you know, you have to drive a mule all the way across Kansas to sell some corn in Missouri, and so we're not going to tax that. But now, I mean, with the Internet, with modern technology and transportation, you can do business from anywhere to anywhere instantly, and the governments of every state and every country, they're all just looking at it and salivating because, you know what? The tax revenues, because it's a tax shelter, you don't have to pay taxes on purchases you make over the Internet. That's what's driving an awful lot of business online, is the fact that people can duck the taxes. So believe you me, folks, it's just a matter of time before Internet transactions are taxed. And not that I'm morally opposed to that. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm morally opposed to that, okay? I'm morally opposed to sales tax, though, in general, not just taxes on the internet. But, I mean, one more tax. How many more taxes can we take before we start throwing some tea into the ocean here? I mean, how much more can we stand? All right, so that's it on the cigarettes and the taxes and the internet, okay? But that's coming, folks. There is no way around that. There's simply too much money getting out of the control of people like Michael Bloomberg. So, you know, brace yourselves for that. Maybe that's when the conservatives will march in the streets, when they tax the internet. Maybe that's what will finally motivate conservative America. They started killing children in 1973, and, you know, there wasn't exactly a huge outcry. And, you know, but maybe it's the tax revolt that will motivate conservative America. I don't know. Well, here's something to motivate you. If you want to feel better about the fact that you're conservative and that you hate evil and that you hate liberalism, this will make you feel better. And this is from CNS News, which is a conservative news service, from earlier this week. Former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark. What's that? Give the phone number again. We barely got any time left. It's 800-836-9278 if you want to participate in the program. Okay, former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, Wednesday, compared Jesus Christ to a terrorist during a media event for a new anti-war campaign group. Yeah. He said the Christian church could call Jesus a terrorist. They could call him a terrorist, too. I mean, he was pretty tough on the moneylenders a time or two. Ramsey Clark. I love it when aging, burned out, used up hippies try to quote the Bible. It's just a riot. I mean, obviously he's biblically illiterate. He's a complete heathen who hates God. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, the guy worked for Lyndon Johnson. I mean, we know where he's coming from, right? Ramsey Clark. For all of you neo-hippies and all you young kids out there, you need to go look up exactly who Ramsey Clark is, because at one time he was the most powerful justice official in America. And now he's just an aging hippie trying to figure out ways to meet girls. What's that? Oh, they don't need to look him up. No, we need to produce a video on that so that people can learn about this dirtbag without having to actually expose themselves. Anyway, he says Jesus was a terrorist because he was tough on the moneylenders. Hey, Ramsey, it was the money changers, okay? Put down the bong and pick up the Bible and at least get the quotes right. Okay, Ramsey, for crying out loud. You know, how embarrassing for a man of letters to misquote the Bible so, well, just so flippantly. He obviously doesn't even care. He was in D.C. Wednesday to lend his support to the launch of the International Answer. That's this new group that's against the war, all wars, against violence against anyone except unborn children. Yeah. Answer, ANSWR, otherwise known as Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. Oh, isn't that delightful? I mean, what more could a hippie ask? Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. Man, that really says it all. Anyway, the organization, this Answer organization, they're demanding access to the White House and the Washington Naval Yard to inspect for weapons of mass destruction. Protesters were urged to show up dressed like un-weapons inspectors. You know, like those bozos walking around Iraq in the blue helmets trying to figure out how to stay cool. Yeah, they wanted. So this group wants, they say we're the terrorists, that we've got weapons of mass destruction, and that we're the ones who should be inspected. Anyways, you know, tell me these kids don't need to be drafted. I mean, come on. I mean, what more could you possibly need to hear than to know that our 18 and 19-year-old, the flower of the youth of our nation, are putting noses in their rings in their noses even, and they want to inspect the United States for weapons of mass destruction. I mean, somewhere we've lost touch with these kids, and someone needs to beat some sense back into them, I really do believe. All right, now let's move through the justice file. Although I've got several interesting things. I'm trying to decide whether or not to save them for the worldview. Dateline Huntsville, Texas. We always love stories when they start out Dateline Huntsville, Texas. A man who shot to death a 5-year-old girl as she was curled up on her family's couch watching Sleeping Beauty was executed Wednesday night. And all the people said, Amen. That's right. He was executed on Wednesday night. He made no final statement, if you can believe that. Here's a guy about to die, meet the living God, who's a murderer. He makes no final statement. Now, he claims, this guy, he claims that he was drunk on the night of September 27th, 1997. 1997, that's got to be a misprint. That's got to be a misprint. That's less than 6 years ago. And this guy's been executed already. How did that happen? Man, talk about a broken, what's that? It must have been 87 and they mistyped it. We haven't seen an execution happen that fast. Oh, this is a particularly heinous crime. He said he was drunk when he went into the girl's house and obviously he maintained that he wasn't responsible for what happened. But he was executed, and the good news is, well, this is relatively good. I mean, we'll take what we can get. It's the 17th of January. It's the 17th day of the new year, and this guy was the second executed there in Texas. They've already taken two of them out down there in Texas. So that's good news, right? That makes us all feel a little bit better, knowing that an example was made of a murderer. He was executed, and everybody gets to read now that if you kill someone, you will be executed, sometimes in as short as 6 years, sometimes. Now the bad news, folks. Dateline, Mansfield, Ohio, from the Associated Press. A man who drew up a hit list and methodically killed four people died of a heart attack in his cell on death row. That's right. He didn't need a pardon. He pardoned himself. He died of a heart attack. He was found dead Tuesday by a prison guard during a routine security check. Yeah, he was convicted of killing four people in a shooting spree that occurred on November 19th, 1995, which is, well, that's coming up on 8 years ago, 7 years ago anyways. So if we'd have made quick work of this guy, maybe we could have all felt some measure of justice. But instead, he dies of a heart attack. He was sent to, death row, by the way, in 1996 there in Ohio. And, well, he languished there eating government cheese and pork and finally succumbed to a heart attack right there in his prison cell as the whole world in America cries out for justice against the murderer. You know, 70% of the ignorant, unwashed, liberal Americans still believe in the death penalty for murderers. Even the morons, even the kids with nose rings, for the most part, know that you should execute murderers. But here we sit while this guy dies of a heart attack, relatively peacefully, I suppose. Of course, the heart attack was probably a lot more painful and difficult for him than would have been his lethal injection, which from what I understand is very warm and fuzzy. All right, now, that's kind of depressing, but here's some good news. Dateline, Decatur, Georgia, in the Bible Belt, by the way. 74-year-old J.C. Adams, guy out there in Decatur, saw three would-be robbers walk into his convenience store. So he naturally went limp and opened the cash register and said, "Take whatever you want and don't hurt me, please, boys." No, he didn't do that. He grabbed a shotgun with one hand and balanced himself on his walker with the other. Yeah. He saw the two men on a surveillance monitor holding up an employee at the cash register of his store. He pushed his walker to the front of the store and confronted the armed suspects, killing one man and wounding the other. How about that? They got some quotes from him. By the way, this is 74-year-old J.C. Adams, an American, a man. No piercings. He says, "No need to let something like that live." That's his quote about the robbers. "No need to let something like that live." Now, they were armed robbers, folks. And this guy has owned this store for 26 years, and he's been robbed 12 times, often at gunpoint. Yeah. Police said that Adams would not be charged in the shooting of these scumbags. And the ones who survived, the one that survived was charged with armed robbery. Yeah. Now, until 3 years ago, the 74-year-old American man with no body piercing said that he kept a .38 handgun in his store, but he switched to a shotgun because he says, quote, "I shot at the guy and I missed. You can't do anything with a .38. Give me a shotgun every day of the week." All right. Anyway, that's a nice note to end on. Bob, I want to thank you for letting me sit in, and for Bob's audience, I want to thank you for tolerating me for yet another night. I hope you'll tune in. The Weekly Worldview will make an appearance this Sunday over at KGOV.com. I hope to catch you all over there. And until then, May the true and living God bless you, and I hope that you will always do right and risk the consequences.